9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Home. CTI Computers. By Hillsboro Area Hospital. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And we have a full house in studio this morning. Very happy to be joined by the Carlinville Cavaliers. We got head coach Chad Easterday. We got Kyle Dixon, Logan Rosentrader, Will Kincaid, Alex Dawson, Tucker Hughes, Jake Ambuel, and Jarrett Easterday. I think I got all that right. Fellas, thank you so much for coming in this morning. And Chad, I guess we'll just start off just real quickly. What a awesome season you guys had.
Yeah, it was one of those that fell into place as it started in the off season 12 months ago, and you know, was one of those for the ages, I think, and just a mark that they have put on Carnival tradition, as a lot of other groups have done.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, the last 2 years, you factor in the third year prior when you got second in state, but one of the most dominating runs that the great history of Carnival football has seen.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, all that has to do with the guys in the room here, some of the guys that couldn't make it this morning. But, you know, I think it's the idea of building tradition and keeping it alive and making it important, both for our community and for them and their parents and everybody else.
Kyle, if you want to grab that microphone right there, we're going to go around the horn here. And Kyle Dixon, you were so much fun to watch over the years. And I guess just tell me just kind of your initial thoughts on the season you had and how much fun it was.
I mean, we had a great season. We put in a lot of work this off season and throughout the season, and we really stuck to our goal of trying to make the state, and I think we gave it our all and had a really great year.
Absolutely. Logan Rosentrader, I remember a couple years ago seeing you hobble around on the crutches, I do believe, and you came back this year, and every time I looked at the stats, you had all sorts of quarterback hurries, all sorts of tackles for loss. So just for you personally, how much fun was this season?
Not being able to play 2 years ago, it was sort of a bummer, but I think the whole team worked hard. I know I worked hard, and some all in the weight room and trying to get themselves better, and I think that we really had fun this year playing and getting able to do stuff like that, make the quarterback hurry, make their passes difficult, and things like that.
Will Kincaid, I know you and Alex Dawson sitting next to each other, and the line this year, you know, offensive, defensive line, it never gets talked about unless you guys do something bad and then everybody remembers what you did. But your quarterback only got sacked twice in the regular year. So just kind of talk about what it's like to be up front, knowing that if you do your job, no one's really going to talk about you.
I think it's a lot of fun. It kind of, I don't know, not really talked about much, like you said, but it's fun. You get to hit people every play, you know. Just get to throw people around, do what you want to do.
I guess that's what football is all about. When you get to just smash someone in the mouth all game, that's got to be fun.
Oh, yeah, you take out your anger, you know, a lot.
Alex Dawson, I guess, do you have similar thoughts and put your own flavor on it?
I mean, every play, like on trap and zone, there was on trap, you got to pull around there and just smash whoever was on the first side of that center. And then on zone, if there was no one to go to, you went to the linebacker and just smashed him too. So it was fun.
Was there at any point, because it seemed like you guys really were a nice, cohesive unit, was there any point, though, and I'm sure there was throughout the year, the last couple of years, where you guys had to get on each other as a unit to hold each other in line?
Well, there was some people on the line that, like, mouthed the other team, so we had to yell at them some to calm down and not get in fights in the field, but that's it.
That's awesome. Tucker Hughes, I know you had, with obviously the concussion that you got at the end of last year, and then you had, I think, the hamstring injury this year. You've gone through a lot injury-wise the last couple of years, so just talk about how tough that was for you to deal with that and overcome it.
Yeah, it's been tough trying to come back. I mean, I'm doing my best to, like, make sure I'm strong for my next sport, but for football, it's just the constant grind of giving your all every practice all the time, and It was tough coming back from the concussion, but it was tough coming back from the hamstring as well. I mean, I still feel it, but I'm giving it all.
Two different type of injuries, obviously. And the unfortunate thing was when you got that hamstring injury, you had turned into an outstanding kicker. And obviously you couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't kick anymore. That was a pretty big upset, honestly, that I couldn't kick anymore. But I knew I couldn't do that anymore. It was going to be very painful for me.
Yeah. Jake Ambule, you had, my broadcast partner Carl DeBar always said, you were the third down guy. Whenever that the Cavaliers, and it wasn't often where you guys got in third down and long, but it seemed every time that there was a situation where a catch had to be made, you were the guy.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I try to always bring the best every game, and so I just do my job, trying to do the first down, keep the offense on the field at all times.
And I remember we'll get into more specifics here as the hour goes along, but I remember the Vandalia game after Kyle had a 99-yard pick six at the end of the first half. The first play out of the locker room, little swing pass to you, and you took it to the house.
Yeah, well, out of the half, we knew we had to make some big plays coming in because we knew that they were going to make adjustments. So I was thankful that I took it to the house, so that really helped the team out all the way around.
Absolutely. Jared Easterday, last in line here, and you had statistically one of the most impressive seasons that I've ever seen with the low number of picks, the high number of touchdowns and yards, but I have a feeling you're going to credit all your teammates.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't have been possible without him. Like you said earlier, only being sacked twice in regular season, I can't say enough about my offensive line. You know, they gave me all the time in the world back there. And they created holes that were super big for Tucker, Ethan, Colton to get through. That kind of shifted the defense's interest a little bit. And, you know, I have heck of receivers out there. Jake, Kyle, Will, Colton, Nick Walton, all of them. You know, any one of them can catch the ball on any given down. And all of them have the ability to take it to the house on any play. And they really helped us out this year, and I couldn't be grateful for all of them.
The two regular season sacks came in the same game against Dawn. So after that happened, your line say, man, get rid of the ball.
Yeah, a couple of them said that to me, but I'm sure they were only joking. But yeah, we got it figured out and for those next two games, and we got it back under control.
So we have the Carlinville Cavaliers in studio here this morning on Sports Saturday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with the Carlinville Cavaliers football team in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday with the Carlinville Cavaliers and their head coach, Chad Easterday. And Jarrett, you still have the microphone, so we'll go back around the horn here. And I remember commenting to Coach Easterday, or do you call him Dad, Coach, Sir, or do you get gutsy and call him Chad?
Well, it just depends on what kind of mood he's in, because normally at practice it's either Dad or Coach, but I remember one time specifically it was in the starting game, and I had made a bad read, and he was kind of not very happy with me at the moment, so I called him Sir to kind of cool the tensions a little bit.
Smart. But I remember telling Coach Easterday, I think it was before the Paxton game when you guys had that long bus trip, that when you play sports, you know, you want to win, and the game is the game. But a lot of times it's those bus rides. It's those moments where there's no fans around, but it's just you and your teammates. And as time passes, that's what you guys are going to remember more than anything.
Oh, absolutely. So many memories were made this year with just being around the team. And not only the seniors, but all the underclassmen as well. You know, me being a quarterback, I was never on the defense. So I was always on the scout team. And it was always an outstanding joke that we would be the best trash talkers to the varsity defense. And that's what the underclassmen were. And those moments whenever, you know, the fans aren't around, the coaches aren't around, those are the moments that really build a team. And that's something that we had this year that I don't think we've had in years past, that we were all just such a tight-knit group, and we're all close friends, and I really think that's what separated us on and off the field.
Yeah, you can feel that just in here this morning, the way you guys are communicating with each other and ribbing each other, just having a good time. And, Chad, it's hard to believe. I remember when Jarrett came in as a freshman after Adam Walton got hurt. He wasn't 6'4 then, but he could sling it then. I just remember thinking, man, that kid can throw the football.
Yeah, that whole situation was unique in itself, I think. you know, Adam getting a collarbone in the last 20 seconds of the game, 30 seconds of the game, and how that unfolded, and you know, and then playing out the season and then not playing the following year. It's I don't know, it says set the example maybe that hard work pays off. You got to trust a little bit in the system, trust a little bit in the tradition, and you know, that's how you get groups like these, I think, is how you they set the standard. I've said that all along, that we didn't set Cardinalville tradition. We're just the job of withholding it, and they've done a great job, a great job.
Absolutely. And Jake Yambu, I know you're going on to play college baseball, correct?
I am. I'm very excited to go on to McKendree. Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to get started with baseball.
And, you know, that football, everyone pays attention to football all the time. It's one game a week. But a lot of times you guys are playing multiple sports, and maybe a lot, you know, people don't go to wrestling matches, you know, basketball games aren't as well attended, baseball games, nobody goes to a baseball game because it's 4:30 in the afternoon, but I guess more people probably identify you as a football player because you were so good at football, but goodness, you're playing college baseball.
Yeah, in a small town like this, in a football school, you mostly get noticed for football, but baseball's always been there for me, and I can't wait to continue on after high school with it.
Chad, what was it that made Jake so special and dangerous as a football player?
Well, I can say it about every one of them, but the unselfishness of the group is going to be the theme if you ask me about every single one of them. I'm going to say the same thing. The ability to accept the game plan. Everyone in this room didn't panic. At one point in time in their career, I told them that they were out or they were fired. Well, I mean, those were a standard line. And, you know, no one turned around and ran and pouted, and they all thought that group, the ones sitting here and the ones that aren't here, they trusted our coaching staff, and you know, that would be the case for Jake, and we tweak things on a weekly basis, and the ability to absorb all that pays off in the end.
Tucker Hughes, obviously we talked about the different injuries you went through this year, but as you look back now, you know, you've had a week to kind of process your football career. What are you going to remember about it?
Oh, I'm just going to remember the great times, the great practices that I had with all my senior buddies, honestly. We had some great memories, both on and off the field, getting ready for practice and playing the game right before the game when we all just sit there and look at each other and say, it's go time, let's go. But that's what I'm going to remember most.
Awesome. And, Chad, I know we've talked about Tucker before and just how he's so important to what you guys did, not necessarily with the carries when he was running the ball. He was very good at that, but he was kind of your intangible guy. I remember asking you last year about the Plains game, and he wasn't in there to pass block.
Right. You know, Tuck's been one of those we've morphed into linebacker, defensive end on defense, slot guy on offense, running back, pass protect, make all those things. So, you know, back to the same thing, was able to accept those roles, and you know, obviously we didn't look the same way we did last year, this year, so the ability to do that, I think, makes a difference.
Alex Dawson, as you think back across the time here that you played football for Cardinalville, what's going to stand out to you?
Well, what's going to stand out to me is, like, we always had fun, and if we weren't having fun, we made it fun.
There you go.
Like, whatever we did was fun. So.
And that, I mean, that is so critical, because you guys had a bunch of expectations. I won't use the word pressure necessarily, but coming into the year, everybody expected you guys to be good. Maybe not quite as dominant as you wound up being, because we've never really seen dominance like that. But did you guys, throughout the course of the year, as kind of the hype was building through the season, did you guys feel the outside expectations?
Well, every game, like the first game, like, whenever it started, it wasn't as hyped, and then it just kept on getting hyped, more hyped every game, and I don't know, we just always had fun, like I already said.
I think that's exactly why you guys wound up having the success that you did, Chad, because of that mentality right there. The outside people, you know, people like me can sit here and talk on the radio about how great you are, but the kids themselves just kind of kept that even keel and had fun. And when you have fun, sometimes pressure doesn't creep in like it might normally otherwise.
I guess we can define fun as many definitions,
right.
But, you know, I think he's exactly right, because there were times where our coaching staff would walk out there and just wanted to smack them because they had a goof off or had something behind the scenes going on, and to relieve a little bit of that stress, as you called it, or whatever else. But, it was stressful on me just to make sure if they were ready to go or not. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were a group that could flip the light switch. And when you have that unique group that's willing to flip that light switch and practice and flip it from one side to the other, exactly what Alex said, and they were able to do that, it makes it unique.
Absolutely. Will Kincaid, I was told, I don't know if this applies to all you guys, but I was told that you guys weren't a big fan of the pregame song, The Boys of Fall, because it didn't get you hyped up enough.
No, we'd rather, me and Alex, we'd rather listen to some AC/DC or something like that. That kind of does the trick for us, but we got to, you know, go with what we've got.
So. That's right. So, as you think back across your high school career, what is it that you're going to remember most or cherish the most about your football time?
All I remember probably before, like, all the home games, sitting there with the lights off, you know, even though it wasn't our kind of music. You know, me and Dawson always knuckles, shake and bake, you know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, always remember that.
Chad, as you think about Kincaid and Dawson on the line, I remember before the year I said, well, you lost some linemen. You said, well, the way we calculate it, we got like 3.5 coming back or 4.5 coming back. And yeah, they were so critical to what you guys did all year.
Yeah, I think the recipe when we started the year was kind of unsure. I think because we have those half people, and by definition of half, that played a lot or might have played a ton of JV or varsity backup role, or saw varsity time. So for us, when you talk about halftime people, we talk about offense, defense, and about, you know, you don't have to be a starter to contribute, and you don't have to be a starter to make a difference the following year. So the people sitting in this room, some started, some didn't, but at the end, they all bought into that goal. And as the season unfolded, we ended up kind of two-way players. We had an offense and a defensive line, which was really unique that we hadn't had in the past. And that helped us down the stretch.
AC/DC. It's a fine choice.
Yeah.
It's a fine choice. Yeah. Logan Rosentrader, I would imagine that for you, you took it all in your senior year, dealing with the injuries that you had earlier in your career.
Yeah, not being able to be out on the field much as a varsity player, junior, sophomore year, it was really new. It was a good experience to take it all in, and I just, in my last few games, I made sure to like look out in the stands a few good times because I knew like my season was coming to an end.
And I would imagine that for all you guys in your senior year, as good as you were, that at some point you realize the games, no matter how far we go, the games are running out.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have mattered if we made it to state or not. It's like, as a senior class, I think we all realized that our 8-year run that we all had since fifth grade, it was coming to an end, and we just needed to take it in and make the best of it.
And Chad, maybe, you know, when people think about Cromwellville this year, Logan Rosentrader might not be one of the first names that pops off the people's minds. But, man, I remember just every time I was preparing for one of your games, and I did all, I think, but two of them, you just look at his numbers, and they were eye-popping.
Yeah, he falls on the list of a lot that maybe doesn't make the stat sheet protocol that jumps out at you, but it's no different than talking about Alex and Will and Jordan Brussler and Nick and Will Walton, those guys that are just doing those little things that make the game go. And that I think sometimes it's always about the throws or how many sacks or how many touchdowns Kyle had or stuff like that people don't realize that are – is just as important.
And Kyle Dixon, I would imagine that you and your big brother can have quite the back and forth now, because I remember when you were a sophomore, you started on the defense and went to state, and I had multiple people tell me he's a better overall athlete than his brother Jacob. I thought, well, that can't really be true. But after watching you play the last couple of years, like, maybe he is. Now, do you go up and tell Jacob, I'm better than you?
Maybe jokingly, but I don't know. I wouldn't have a serious comment about that. But I don't know. It'd be tough. Playing different positions, it's tough to compare us. But I mean, he was a great player. So I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he was an amazing tailback. You were amazing wide receiver, and I don't know that I ever saw you get caught from behind. When you caught the ball and went with that burst, did you ever think, man, someone might catch me, or be like, nah, I'm gone?
I don't know. I mean,
once you get in open space, you're thinking the whole time that you have to get there and you don't want to get caught from behind, because I know that I would get a lot of grief from my brother if I did.
I mentioned earlier the Vandalia game, and that game was actually in the balance there a little bit in the first half, and Vandalia was driving late, a chance to make it a one-score game, and or might have even tied the game. I don't know the exact situation now. But you picked that ball off at the goal line and ran it back. It totally turned the game around. Just is that the play that sticks out to you the most, or is there another one? Because a 99-yard pick six is kind of hard to top.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of great plays this year that we've had as a team. But that was really important in that game. It was big to change the tide and the momentum in the game.
And I don't know how you weren't an all-stater. I don't understand it, because with the offense, the defense, and the special teams, I mean, my gosh, just a phenomenal year. And I guess my question would be, do you consider yourself a better wide receiver, a better defensive player, or a better returner? If you had to pick one, you can only do one. Kyle Dixon says, I'm the best at this. I had the most fun at this. I'm doing this.
I say I probably enjoyed playing receiver more than anything.
Yeah.
But I'll go with the receiver.
Going with the receiver. Yeah. Probably a good choice, Chetty. There's really no wrong selection there.
No. Obviously, we were able to build game plans around that, around what he can do and what he can't do, very little. But I think that's how unique it was, and that's how we ended up with other people, because it was hard to defend him and opened up amazing things, and then the defensive game plans were built around there, that as well.
And Kyle, the same thing applies to you that applied to Mr. Ambuehl. You know, you are thought of as a football player because you were a dynamic football player, but you're playing D1 baseball.
Yeah, I mean, things. Just going into my sophomore year, I wasn't really planning on playing baseball in college, and then my junior year started to pick up. I started to get better in baseball, and I thought that I should try to play at college level, started getting more serious about it, and here I am.
Here you are, absolutely. And I can say without a doubt that everybody in the South Central Conference is glad they don't have to see any of you anymore. They're very happy about that. And, Chad, I want to talk now a little bit about your last game. Obviously, it didn't go the way that anybody in this room wanted. I think we all, myself included, planned on being up at Champaign yesterday for the 3A state title game. But that was a situation, and this is just my opinion, the field conditions Saturday were not good. They were not favorable at all, and you guys spent a lot of time slipping and sliding. And I don't remember ever seeing a game, because you got such great athletes, where you just couldn't keep your footing.
Yeah, I mean, there were several factors in the game that maybe didn't go our way, and definitely that was one that down on the list that contributed possibly to the loss. Played a great football team.
Yeah.
When there's four left and there's 1 week to go, there is no bads. There are no, it's about being the elite. And on that given day and on a few moments there, we weren't that. And we had some great moments throughout the game, but we didn't have enough of them. And that's not a lame excuse. It just is how the game works, and that's why we play the game. And that's, it hurts. 12 hours later, it was terrible. 24 hours later, it was better.
Yeah.
And as we sit here today and we joke about where we started and where we ended, it's hard to find a lot of fault with that. So I think everyone, all 18 of them deserve and were very proud to set such a bolster goal that's what they wanted.
As you look back on it, and I know this is how you operate, you'll go back and you'll rehash everything that maybe you could have done, didn't do, should have done. How do you prepare, for a field condition? You can't anticipate something like that. So, I mean, is there anything you can do to get ready for that, or is it just kind of unluck of the draw, so to speak?
I think unluck of the draw. I guess we could water the practice field one time. It's practice. We practice wet balls, so I don't know if we can make a mud hole out there and practice that or not. But, I think, and they'll laugh at me in a second. I think the first thing you do is, the first thing I said to them is no excuses.
Yeah.
And we took the field, we warmed up, and it wasn't great, but our opponent had to play in the same stuff we did and the same noise conditions and all that good stuff. So, it is what it is, and I hate that line too, because that's why sports, and I tell them, you ask each one of them about what they remember. I tell them that I have 8-9 coaches, and we're the lucky ones, because we get to be seniors every year.
Right.
And I tell them that on the opening day, that I'm the lucky one because I get to replay this every year as long as I can. So, you know, just proud of them.
And for any of you guys who want to answer, that atmosphere last week, I've never seen anything quite like that. It was loud and it was packed. So if you just want to each say a little bit and pass the microphone around, but Kyle, we'll start with you. What was it like playing in that type of atmosphere?
I mean, they had a lot of fans. They were really loud, had lots of shakers. They had the speaker going on during the game right behind our bench. I mean, it was a great atmosphere for playoffs. There's lots of people there. They didn't have any tracks, so the fans were right there on the field. I mean, it was great.
Logan, as you guys were warming up, were you looking around like, man?
Yeah, it was definitely a bigger crowd than we had really ever seen. I know for our Williams game, we were expecting a lot of people, but I think our very last game, we had more people than at the Williamsville game. And it was really great to just see, like, a lot of the people from Carlinville there, a lot of the people from their town there. And it was all, like Kyle said, they were all just right up in the game. And it really just added to the intensity.
And for Will and Alex, I know you guys were saying that you couldn't hear your quarterback.
No, we couldn't at all. It was loud. Couldn't hear anything. Couldn't hear what the checks were or anything.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Alex, as you look back on that atmosphere a week later, and this is something, you know, 25 years from now, there's going to be three times the number of people at the game that were actually. That's just how it works over the course of time. But as you look back on that game, just kind of what was the atmosphere like? How much fun was it to play in something like that?
Well, it was fun because, like, my dad always tells me that he always thought that it was always a funner game to play in mud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just better to play in mud than dirt because you just get dirtier. And
right.
And then
it's a dream as a kid, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, like Will was saying, I could not hear Jared at all, and whenever I got down into my stance, I was just hoping that I was going to do the right play because I did not hear him at all, and I could not hear the check, and just making sure it wasn't, like, if he called zone or something, I was hoping it wasn't a pass and I went to the wrong guy.
That's an uncomfortable feeling, I would imagine, like playing blind. Tucker, as you think back now to that day, just kind of what are you going to remember about it?
I'm going to remember how muddy it was.
Yeah.
It was slick. Couldn't keep any of my footing. It was stressful, but it was a really good environment to have a football game. It was.
It was really awesome. And Jake, I think it was the very first series of the game. You went to make a cut, and you wound up on your backside.
Yeah, it was a muddy mess out there, and it was a great atmosphere. The crowd was amazing that we played in front of. Could have been a better place to play.
And Jared, I know, for you as the quarterback, if your lineman can't hear what you're trying to say, that's a problem.
Yeah, there were definitely a couple times whenever I'd made a check and I wasn't for sure if everyone up front heard me. And then I know there was one point late in the game where I made a check and I had looked back at Ethan and told him the check. And once the ball was snapped, he went the wrong way or the other way, and he just said he couldn't hear me. And that definitely poses a problem. And you know, I give credit to Monticello's 12th man. They were loud from our first snap on the field, and it definitely played a factor in the game.
And I knew the field wasn't good, but when I saw you slip on two punts, I thought, oh, man, it might be worse than I even thought.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot slicker than I had anticipated, and everyone in this room definitely gave me a lot of slack. We went back and watched those two punts multiple times after the game. But, yeah, it was definitely a lot slicker than I'd thought, and I'd kind of taken too big of a step. And as soon as I'd punt the ball, I wound up looking up at the sky. And
like a Charlie Brown situation.
Yeah.
And I asked you guys all this off the air, but I'll go ahead and ask you on there. Feel better since Monticello won the whole thing, Jarrett?
I do. Just to know that our only loss this year came to the state champions, and, you know, they were a really good team, and knowing that, you know, hey, we lost to them last week, and then they turn around and beat a very good Byron team, I really think that sits better with us, knowing that, hey, they were the best of the best in 3A, and we only lost to them, and I really think that is going to help us get through it.
Jake, you have the same feeling?
Yeah, Monticello is a great team. They have a bunch of great athletes, and it was great for them to end up beating Byron yesterday, and it was a great game for them.
And Tucker, I think it was you that said before the before we went on, I wanted the Monticello to win, and then I got there yesterday, and I sort of changed my mind.
Yeah, well, I saw all their fans and how good of a time they were having, kind of got a little jealous. Yeah. But I'm glad they won at the end because I left. Finally, I left the state football game after that. I was happy that they won, but when I got there, it was a little iffy. But overall, I'm pretty happy that we got beat by state champions. But
okay,
yep.
Alex Dawson, happy that you lost to the state champs?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather lose to a team that wins it all, mm-hmm. because then that means that we lost to the team that won it all. And
right.
It's just how it happened.
Well, Kincaid, you have the same feeling?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, wish we could have been there, but sure. not what happened, you know. Got to take what we got, so. Yeah, I'd rather lose to them than somebody that lost it, so.
There you go. I like it. Logan Rosentrader, do you feel better about, well, that's probably not the right way to put it. Are you satisfied that the team that beat you never got beat?
Yeah, I think that if the only team that we lose to throughout the whole season is the one that won state, I think it still shows that as a team we're still pretty good.
And Kyle Dixon, you got the start on defense at that field a couple years ago in the state championship game. So was there any part of you yesterday that, you know, obviously the memories come back, but you thought, man, would have loved to have been out there one more time.
I mean, yeah, going there and playing there was such an experience. I mean, it was a great day. I mean, we might have got beat pretty bad, but still, it was a really fun day and something you definitely wanted to go back to, and it hurt not being able to go back with this team. And hats off to Monticello.
Was there a little bit of maybe closure knowing that you lost to the state champs?
I mean, yeah, a little bit. That helps with the loss. I mean, obviously you're never okay with losing, but that eases the pain a little bit.
And Coach Easterday, I would imagine that there has to be some sort of sense of satisfaction that knowing that the team that beat you in the slop on their field won the whole thing.
Yeah, just to echo what all of them said, yeah, I think there's a little bit of, I guess, satisfaction is the right word to use, that we lost to a team that was undefeated and was fortunate enough and talented enough to win a state title.
As you process this, you mentioned you get to be a senior every year. That's a great line and a great way to look at it from a coaching perspective. But this group of seniors, it was such a large group, for one, and it wasn't just a large group, but it was a large, productive, talented group. You know, sometimes you have a big group, or maybe only a handful of them contribute. But in your case, your senior class had so much success and contributed so much to that success the last several years. As you kind of put this group together and think about it as a whole, what are you going to remember?
Wow, that's a tough one. you're right. Every group that I've ever coached has some unique quality about them. This group in particular was the ability to stick together, because as you went around the room, some of them were injured, some of them played a lot early, some did not. They stayed the course, did not panic. I'm sure I was not high on their list of likable people maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago, but they didn't quit coming to the weight room. They didn't quit doing the little things. They didn't just say, I'm done, I'm out. They believed in the process and believed in the program. And, you know, when you get those types of kids, as we were talking about off the air, sometimes I think this group would nitpick at each other. I mean, to the end. I mean, they'll definitely be pranking each other, but no one else is allowed to do that to them. Only if you're in the 18 group are you allowed to do that. And when you get a niche like that, one, you remember it for a long, long time, and they're special. And hopefully they've set another standard for what it should look like. And, like we said, I'm a senior every year, so I get to enjoy it. And I think the next group of coming will be just like those, and we'll have a great mentor to watch have done it.
There were three regular season games that stood out to me, and any of you guys can talk to this if you like. But your first big test comes against Pena, state-ranked, and you put a running clock on them at the half. Now, there's no way that you guys – you obviously prepared every week thinking – we're going to win. We're probably going to truck some people. But there's no way you could have thought going into that game, running clock, halftime. Yeah.
I mean, we were really fired up going to that game. We knew it was going to be a really tough game. And, I don't know, we came out firing on all cylinders, and it ended up really well for us.
Yeah, it ended up pretty good. It really did. Anybody else have any thoughts on the Pena game? The Vandalia game, I thought, was maybe the toughest game you guys had in the regular year because it was at Vandalia. And I think Vandalia went into that game thinking, we're just as good as Cromville. You know, everybody talks about Cromville this, Cromville that. We're just as good as Cromville. And you guys made it pretty clear pretty quick that you guys were a step above even where Vandalia thought they were. So satisfaction-wise, that had to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. Going in that game, both of us were 6-0. Both of us top of the conference. Everyone had been talking about that game even before the season. And it really was a goal for us to go in there and really play our hearts out and really just do all the little things right. And especially going over there and beating them in Vandalia in such a great environment, I really think that was what sparked us, you know, to kind of help make this deep postseason run. And I really think that was a great moral victory for us.
Now, I don't know if Vandalia ever really recovered from that game, as that was late in the year, and they had a couple losses after that, lost in the first round. But that night, you guys offensively didn't get stopped. The only time you had to punt was on a third down and something, and you threw a nice ball. But it got dropped.
Yeah. Our offense was really firing on all cylinders that night. I remember Colton had a great night running. And, you know, up front, at least, run blocking, we were just unstoppable. You know, we were really bringing it to him. And on the outside, you know, if I can remember right, other than that drop pass, I really don't think we had too many drops or incomplete passes. And we were really firing on all cylinders on offense, and defensively we really did a good job of containing them, stopping the big plays for the most part, and I really think that set us apart that night.
Then the other game that stood out to me in the regular year was the last week of the year, hosting Greenville. Obviously, the year before they had spoiled your guys' chance at a perfect season, and I remember telling some people going into that game, I don't think this one's going to be close. I think Greenville has unfinished business on their mind, and I wouldn't have thought 66-0, though. And then that team, the Comets, go on to make the quarterfinals. So you guys beat a team 66-0 last week of the year. They go on to the quarterfinals. I don't know who wants to talk about the Greenville game. Don't all jump at once towards the microphone.
I will. I think Coach Hutch, you know, it's like we were talking about before. Sometimes when the ball gets going in a game and you've coached long enough, sometimes you just can't get the floodwaters stopped.
Right.
And it's no fault of anyone's when things started rolling at Vandalia. You know, I've been on that other side where it's, you try everything under the sun and nothing is working, and it's not for the lack of trying. I'm not so sure that Greenville didn't have that quote unquote shoe on. I know the year before we couldn't do anything right for two quarters at Greenville, and ended up losing a close one. I think when it started to domino for them, it dominoed, and, hats off to us for making that happen. For them, they showed up that, hey, we're resilient also, and came back and did their postseason run.
And you know, as a coach, that is so impressive to get trucked like that in week nine and then respond with road playoff wins.
Yeah, I know Coach Hutchins over there very well, and we talked after the game, and you know, he believes in kind of the same philosophy. We got our butt kicking on the bus and figured it out. Mm-hmm. You know, no excuses. And they did that. So, you know, that's what makes our conference good, I think. I think it's what builds good conference play and the good rivalries we have within the conference. So,
and you guys might have not got to state this year, but I really believe that this team overall was better than the team that got state runner-up a couple years, just because of the defense, Chad. The defense this year, and again, the offense was so prolific, nobody really talked about it. But your defense this year, I think, was better than it was 3 years ago. Just my opinion.
Well, I tell you what, people have asked me that throughout the whole year, and I don't want to sound like that's... We had more team speed on defense, I think, than we have had in, I believe, my tenure here. It just worked out that way. As a collective group, we had more speed. We might have had better at certain positions, but overall, team speed-wise, was one of the best that Quinn and I have seen in a long time.
Got over to Paxton, was up in the press box getting ready, and one of their people up there says, so, are they better this year than they were the team that got second in state? I said, I think they're better. He said, ah, crap. And then you guys go out and another running clock in the first half. And to put a running clock on a team in the first half in the second round playoff game, I mean, it's just remarkable. And Kyle, that day you, I think, tied the 3A record for touchdowns, and you only needed two quarters to do it. So I don't imagine you knew at the time the type of historic day you were having, but you knew you were scoring a lot of touchdowns.
I mean, the line blocked well for Jarrett that day. He threw some great balls to me, and it was a good day as a team overall. We really came out, punched him in the mouth, and finished the job in the second half.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for coming in, and I guess just kind of, if you all want to go around the room, just kind of give your final thoughts on your season or say hi to mom and dad, whatever you want to do, go ahead.
I mean, we had a great season this year, so nothing really to be ashamed of. We came out, worked hard all year, and I think that's all you can ask for.
Logan Rosentrader?
Yeah, I think we had a great run. 12-0 is nothing to be ashamed about. We played well, and I think we should be proud of that.
Will Kincaid?
Yeah, it was a great season. Had a lot of fun. Wouldn't want to change anything. You know, it was perfect, I think.
Alex Dawson?
I mean, I think we had a great season. I wish we could have went state, but that's just not how it worked out this year.
Tucker Hughes?
I think it was a very enjoyable season that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Jake Ambuel?
It was a great senior season to spend this last year with all these guys I've spent 8 years with, and I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Jared Easterday?
I just want to thank these guys sitting in the room and the rest of the 18 seniors that aren't here for giving me and this team memories that will last a lifetime. And those moments whenever the fans aren't around, those are the ones that we'll really cherish forever. And this has really been a season to remember.
Absolutely. And, Chad, I want to thank you. You always give us time each and every Saturday morning. I always appreciate that. And you're always forthcoming with your answers. You know, I ask you some maybe more pointed questions than I ask other coaches, but just because knowing how good you guys were, you know, you were operating on a level that we haven't. I mean, the Greenville teams from a while ago, that's the comparison for this group and this team, what they did. You know, that run that Greenville had a number of years ago where they were just smashing people week in, week out. That's what you guys did this year.
Right. And it is all about the 18 of them and their football IQ that I've talked about for 12, 13 weeks, their ability to absorb things. I can't say enough about all those qualities, and as all of them just said about the memories that they have had for me, you know, look back and no one remembers that we were kind of joking. My first 2 years, we were 0-3, start out of the gate. So, you know, I had my own personal satisfaction for the year, and their goal was huge. Their goal was big, and no one was going to stand in the way with that, and no one was going to tell them no. And, you know, that is a direct reflection of them and their parents and the community, and just very proud of them.
Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in this morning and joining us here on Sports Saturday. Congratulations on one heck of a ride. I enjoyed every minute of it. We'll take a break. We're back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And once again, we really want to thank the Carlinville Cavaliers and their head coach, Chad Easterday, for coming in this morning, joining us on Sports Saturday. Just kind of the perfect way, I think, for us to wrap up our football coverage of the season, as the season will officially end today with the 5, 6, 7, and 8A championships. But what an awesome ride it was for the Carlinville Cavaliers this year. And it was just so much fun to watch. And you can tell by the way that these young people interacted with each other, they genuinely like each other and just had a heck of a time, and they've made memories for a lifetime. So congratulations to the Carlinville Cavaliers on a phenomenal high school football season. As we sit here on the 24th day of November, a lot of the turkey tournaments will be wrapping up today at the Metro East Lutheran Turkey Tip-Off. The championship game at 7:30 tonight has Alton Marquette taking on Metro East Lutheran. The third place game will be at 5:30 this evening. It'll be the Litchfield Purple Panthers taking on Odin. And joining us on the phone right now is Litchfield head coach Drew Logan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, I think, at least for me personally, I was a little bit surprised to see you guys playing in the championship semifinals. Were you, and how proud of you are you of your team?
Well, you know, I kept telling people after this summer and early in the season, I've been cautiously optimistic. Some of the kids on the team have made some really big strides from last year, and just from a team standpoint, we made some adjustments based on our personnel. And to be honest, the biggest thing that we've seen in the first three games is just the level of effort's been kind of off the charts. Kids are really working hard. That was the comment that Dubose coach made after the game, is that, kids outplayed us. And coming from him, he's won 700 plus games. Coming from him, I told the kids, I said, that's a pat on the back you're willing to take.
Andrew, you've been doing this long enough to know that if you get consistent effort, you're going to get consistent results.
Yeah, we struggled a little bit last night with our shooting, which is, that's inconsistent just by nature in high school basketball. Mm-hmm. But like I told them, I said, as far as effort stuff, looking at defense, rebounding, those types of things, those are going to keep you in most ball games. Like I said, if we knock down some crucial shots early in the game, get some confidence, I think, we definitely would have been closer. I'm not sure if it would have ended up with a win, but we battled all the way to the end.
And Metro's a good team playing on their home floor in their tournament in the semifinals. You have to be happy. You lost, but it wasn't like you just got run out of the gymnasium.
No, we kept saying it right before halftime. They would make a run, and I just kept telling our coaching staff, we need to get this within eight, and I think we're down nine at halftime. We came out right off the bat. We're able to do something defensively that we had talked about and made an adjustment at halftime. And like I said, we didn't hit some of the shots we would normally probably hit. And, like I told the kids at halftime, just keep shooting. It is what it is. If you miss, you miss. It's not our night. It's not our night. Just keep shooting. Be willing to take the shot. And if you make it, great. If you don't, we'll move on to Saturday.
And the headline for your team early and throughout the year is going to be Sam Painter. And at least scoring-wise, he's putting up the numbers here through the first three games.
Yeah, he early in the game especially, they were trying to do some things against him to try to deter what he was doing. But I think he had 12 or first 17 points or something. I've told a lot of people, and over the last 2 years, he was one of the better athletes on the floor most nights. I said that he has really taken a big step forward this year, and not just skill wise. His mentality throughout the game has changed, and he, like I said, he put in hours this summer. He put in a lot of hours this fall getting ready, and for him, I'm glad to see that it's starting off the way we had hoped.
And it sure seems like he's going to have some help this year. Talk about some of the other kids on the team and where they are now and where you think they could be.
Yeah, we've been really trying to develop some depth. Based on last year, we had six seniors, and we had four or five of those kids that played a lot. So, Sam obviously played a lot last year, but you've got guys like Brady Bishop really stepped up this week, and again, he's one that's really taken a big step forward this year. Seth McGill has had a really good tournament for us. And then we've got Ethan Washburn, who's a big guy inside that, has really taken some strides forward. And I keep telling people the X factor for us, we had Billy Beckham, who really stepped up last year around Christmas time. But John Corso came off a broken foot last year and has really, really impressed us this summer, really impressed us so far this year. And, maybe had a couple slow games during the tournament, but we're expecting big things from him. And then, we've got guys coming off the bench in Austin Niehaus that played a lot over the last couple of years. And then, like I said, we're still looking to try to maintain some depth. Jake Juergen has been playing good minutes for us. So we got a couple other guys on the bench that we're hoping once we get into the regular season and are able to make adjustments after games and not go game to game to game, that we will get some more guys on the floor also.
All right, Drew, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck tonight against Odin.
All right, thank you.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Purple Panthers.
That's an extra dose of purple.
That's
right
an
there.
Extra dose of purple right there. But, David, they needed, after the football season in the fall, they needed some good news, and the basketball team has provided it here early.
Well, yeah, and they've had a rough year last year, kind of a down year, down couple of years for them, and off to a fantastic start off what seems to be an ever-changing Metro East Lutheran tournament, because it seems like every year it's a different format and everything.
Well, I think I got they got all the different brackets. I couldn't figure that out, so I think I got Southwestern Valmyra playing for 11th. I think that's right. I know that's who they're playing. I think Lebanon and Woodruff are playing for 15th. The Metro East JV against Super, I think that's the 13th place game. I don't know. You got bronze brackets. You got gold brackets. You got silver brackets. I don't know. Yeah. You got all sorts of brackets.
Who's
over there.
Who's playing for the championship? Obviously Lutheran, Metro East
Lutheran.
That
is Marquette and Metro East Lutheran, so that'll be a good championship game.
I think that was last year's championship.
Right. And we know that's the gold bracket.
Hey.
That's the gold record. That we know. Hey, thank you so much to Drew Logan for hopping on with us. Thanks so much to the Carlinville Cavaliers for coming in and joining us here on Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FAM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Happy Thanksgiving and have a great sporting weekend.